The Nine News Podcast is brought to you in association with Season Master and the Window Workshop. Hello everybody and welcome to episode 334 of the 9 Years Podcast, the first edition of 2024. Thank you very much for downloading the show this week. I'm Nick Draper. I'm joined as always by the face of the BBC Sport website, Mr. Stuart Deakins. And before we get into looking back at the Colchester game and the Forest Green game and looking ahead to FA Cup action and trying to calm all the panic about our absence of strikers for the coming few weeks, I want to start, Stu, with just a little mention that I have already fallen foul of the writing the wrong date problem that comes when we move into January. Signing off loads of invoices today, dating them 2023, like the idiot I am. How long does it take you to adjust normally?
Well, to be fair, I'm still writing 2022. So,
wow.
No, I get confused what year it is, what month it is, all that sort of stuff. Yeah, I'm literally Christmas period. I was only really understanding what day it was by the football fixtures.
They were quite helpful in that regard, aren't they? You knew that Colchester was on the Friday and Forest Green was on the Monday, and that helped kind of sort of get a grip on what day of the week it is, because it is that time of year where it all just tends to mould into one. But we are slowly getting back into routine this week, I believe, and by next week we'll all be moaning and complaining about all the usual things. Never mind.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I was just thinking, like, Saturday's good in a way that we're playing on Saturday, because it feels like it's resetting the football clock. We are now playing, well, I was going to say 3 p.m. on a Saturday. We're not even doing that, are we? But we'll be soon when we go back to our normal, what football should be, a football Saturday 3 p.m. kickoff.
Absolutely. Should always be Saturday 3 o'clock kickoff. But we're not on Saturday, are we? We're 12:30 because of international TV reasons, or as I like to call them, nonsense. But anyway, these are the things we have to put up with. I mean, I think we are recording this. It's Thursday today. We are recording this on Thursday. I believe the FA Cup third round actually starts tonight for reasons. Palace versus Everton is on TV. Who on earth wants to watch Palace versus Everton in the FA Cup third round? Why on earth is that on TV? Who makes these decisions and why are they idiots? Why is everyone in charge of football these days absolute idiots?
Do you know what? I've been listening to some podcasts and doing a bit of reading, actually. I do tend to read sometimes, but I'm trying to get my football. So I was reading a Simon Jordan article about the FA Cup and about how good the FA Cup is, and it's not as bad as what people think. And he was talking about TV rights and change. You know how football changes and FA Cup changes, and he was sort of saying the FA should be looking after this magic competition, but it's now, I'm not so sure if you're aware, but the Premier League now have got control of selling the TV rights for the FA Cup. He was actually saying that the FA are useless at doing that, and actually the Premier League, whilst the Premier League will always control because of how much money's in the Premier League, they're actually very good at selling their TV rights and making sure competition is good. So was confident that actually the FA Cup could survive, but it's it was interesting what he was saying in terms of that. But some people like this Thursday to Monday FA Cup. I used to like it when all the games were on a Saturday and you'd watch Match of the Day and you'd see an hour and a half of all the highlights. And yeah, I don't get the Ipswich if it's for international TV. Who? Because at 12:30, if it's for the American customers, well, it's going to be middle of the night for them. For the Australians, it's going to be midnight or day ahead of us. Yeah, if it's for the Australians, it's going to be.
Yeah, no, you're
who
right.
Is it for?
Yeah, I don't know. Probably, I don't know. Saudi Arabia, maybe?
Well, there you go. It has everything now, doesn't it? As the boxing, as the tennis, as the golf, and now has the football with the Asian Cup in Qatar.
I prefer not to speak. If I speak, I get in trouble.
Yes.
Oh, well. Hey, look, you know, this atomization of football is just in keeping with atomization of society. People put two and two together one day, but I'm not banking on it. Don't get me started, Stu. Should we touch on happier times? A couple of games to look back on.
Yes.
4 points out of six after the Boxing Day reversed against Sutton. We came back as many expected us to. We beat Colchester, scored 5 goals. And then we got a point away at Forest Green, which I was actually a little bit surprised at the reaction to. I know they're bottom of the league. We've been bottom of the mind boggles about this. It's like how many years ago was our great escape? Coming up five years. It will be 5 years now in May since the we've got 10 points adrift at the bottom of the table. How do people think we managed to get out of that if not for beating and taking points off other teams? This is what happens in football. It's this entitlement that all of a sudden we're having one decent season in 10 and we don't beat the team bottom of the league away from home at the busiest time of year when teams drop points all over the shop. It's impossible to go on like, I think not impossible, but how many teams have won 4 out of 4? Very, very few. And it was a difficult place to go on really difficult conditions. And we got a point having gone 1-0 down. So anyway, we'll come back to the Forest Green game shortly. Colchester game. I mean, I might as well have not said anything after the Sutton game. There was me saying, I think more teams are going to learn how to play direct and make life difficult for us and cause us problems. And Colchester went, nah, fuck that. We're going to start playing out from the back. And the thing is, Colchester didn't realise is they are shit at it. They are absolutely fucking woeful at it. And the second half was just ridiculous. It was just like they passed it to their centre half. He sort of stood on it for ages, didn't know what to do, passed it sideways. They passed it sideways again. We intercepted it. We scored. It was just ridiculous.
It was interesting. You say the Colchester didn't realise, their fans did, because I don't know if you heard the song that they were singing, Matthew Jefferson, your football is shit. Now, when fans are singing that, it wasn't a surprise that Matthew Jefferson lost his job a few days ago, because once the fans turn, and when I've never heard football fans sing that song. I thought it was amazing. Your football, like, actually, once you do a double take, like, did they say that? Your football is shit. And of course it is, because it's attacking. It's a football. Hey, look, you're right. Sutton and Colchester, two different teams, both in the that part of the league where they need to try and get out of trouble. But if you and I are watching both of them games, you would say Sutton every time we've got a chance of getting out, because they play low risk football. Where culture, it's the problem is like all these coaches, they seem to feel you must play the game in a certain way, and it's just crazy. You can't play that way, are you? Again, I've listened to quite a few podcasts recently, and there was a podcast I was listening to. I think it's actually Harry Bassett. It was Harry Bassett, and I think there was a Sam Allardyce one that Aaron did, and talking about this philosophy that teams must all play the same way. If they see Man City doing it, or Liverpool do it, or Pep doing a new formation, well, that must transcend through all the leagues. Now, I don't know about you. All the highlight packages I watch from Football League, National League, even Premier League, most goals now are scored by people fucking around.
They're from mistakes. They are. They're all from
We're not good
mistakes.
enough to do
Exactly.
that. But it just makes me chuckle. So you're right. Colchester come to our place. I tell you what we do. We must have scouted Wimbledon and saw Sutton gave them a hard time. But no, we stick to our principles, whatever principles they are, and we'll play football from we'll play total football, as we call it. It's just, and that's Addy said to us on Don's TV a little while ago. He said, "Do all due respect to League Two defenders, they're not good enough to do
No.
that consistently over 90 minutes."
Yeah. Yeah.
And wow. Hey, look, do you know what? We have found a really. I know Johnny Jackson gets some hard time sometimes about having no plan B and stuff like that. But his plan A is basically press, high press, let them make mistakes, and we'll punish them. That to me is a great tactic.
Yeah. And similarly, don't make any play low risk, don't make any mistakes defensively either when we're in possession. Don't give the opposition any chance to get at you or try and count or get you on the counter attack. And yeah, we still ended up conceding 3 goals to Colchester somehow. But I mean, when you watch them back, I think I mean, we can go back. I mean, the one thing that Colchester did get right in the first half was they realised that we played with a narrower formation. So our fullbacks were exposed. And especially they got the right winger, forget his name to apologise, number 42, different level. Taking on Jack Curry and getting a bit of joy out of that. But again, the first goal is just us is us switching off. Second goal, it's a great touch from Taylor. I mean, he's a champion. He's a Premier League, sorry.
He's
Yeah,
decent.
Premier League registered player, so you come to expect that, and he got the better of Joe Lewis on that one. And the third goal doesn't really matter, to be honest with you. The funniest goal of all of them, though, for me, was our equaliser. So Joe Lewis got the equaliser with a header from a corner. But if you watch the game back, how we won that corner was absolutely hilarious, because again, they started playing, and we weren't even pressing them that high. They were just so bad at playing football that they've somehow ended them, got themselves into trouble. And then similarly, I've never watched a game of football where we've won a corner in the second half. We won a corner before we'd even touched the ball. That's how bad they were.
I know. I saw you post that and I laughed my head off because I had to watch it back very quickly. I didn't notice it. Because I think you just get used to a lot of these teams. I think you just get used to a lot of the way they set up and play. And I didn't realise that. But it is hilarious. You're right. The thing with this total football idea, right, is that it doesn't go forward. So it goes backwards, sideways. And of course, it always tends to go back to the goalkeeper as the most furthest player back.
Yeah.
And eventually you just push them back into their corners. And so it's never a surprise you get cheap corners. But yeah, that was a classic for the corner that we got in the second half. You know, I just don't get it sometimes. There was nothing wrong in putting your foot through it and clearing your lines. There was nothing wrong.
Yeah. Look at our third goal. All it is Joe Lewis getting the ball and straight away looking to get it forward as quickly as possible. And then we score.
I remember Alex Pierce when he joined, and I used to love the fact that he would just knock it into Rose Ed, they used to call it.
Yeah, just basics.
Because you know what? When I was younger playing football, we were always taught, kick it out, because they can't score from there. Exactly. You can't score. Well, the problem is nowadays, because you've got multi-balls, well, you can score from, you can't kick it into Rose Ed because there's a ball on row eight.
Yeah, true.
Someone goes to get. Although, you know, I saw the funniest thing ever, right? I think it was the Arsenal game, where they conceded a corner, the defender was out of position, and there was a multi-ball situation, but what he did to counter it was just got the ball that had gone off the pitch and just drops it onto the
straight
pitch.
Straight on, yeah. Smart.
To stop them doing it. He got a booking, and it made me laugh. I always love the way, whatever rule comes in, there's always some way of getting around it.
Yeah.
You know, sportsmanship, as they
such
call
is,
it.
Such is life.
But this multi-ball system was just classic. He sort of realised he was in trouble, and I think a goalkeeper did that recently in Germany, where he did that. He went off the pitch, he all sugar, got the ball, put it on the back on the pitch. So there was two balls on the pitch. They couldn't play. You can't score. You can't score. The ball's out of play. You can't score. Knock it out, play basics, and you will tend to win more games than you lose.
Yeah. And Sutton got a result, close to getting a result. Gillingham with 10 men as well, and then they got a point again on New Year's Day coming from behind. So, you know, I think there's signs of life there for them. Colchester depends on who they get in. I saw a rumour about Danny Cowley, but they, to me, are a safer bet for relegation than the other two at this moment in time. Forest Green, I thought, especially when you see, they've got goals in that team. I don't really understand. Like, they must be really weak defensively because they've got Stevens Taylor up front. They've got players that can hurt you. But I thought, again, character from us again, coming from behind again, second game in a row to get to get a point. Difficult conditions. So, again, we hit the post as well. I thought it was a good point overall. So I think I was surprised at the negativity really around the place. I know there's a lot of panic about losing players, and there are rumours that Evans is going to go back to Stockport. There are now rumours that Lewis will be recalled because they've got injury problems at Stockport. Who knows what to believe? At the moment, all we do know is that Ali and Omar are the two that we will be missing for a few weeks. But then we go back to the Colchester game. And I think reports of Josh Davidson's decline have been greatly exaggerated. I think we really do underrate him. I think Josh Davidson's biggest problem is that he's not Ali Alhamady. And that doesn't make Josh Davidson a bad player, but in many people's eyes, it seems to have done.
Yeah, I agree. I've been saying, I think I said to you many, many months ago, the biggest problem we've got is we keep bringing Josh in for 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there, or 90 minutes when Ali was called out, called up for international football. And you just can't, forwards just can't do that. They've got to have some sort of game time.
Mm.
Josh Davidson didn't become a bad player. He got into double figures from memory last season. Did well at Swindon, which meant was the reason why we signed him originally. Yeah. He doesn't become a bad player. But you're right, his biggest problem is he's not Alhamady. Well, do you know what? Shock horror, not many players in League Two are Alhamady.
Yeah.
You know, he's a totally different ball game, you know, in terms of, and yes, we're gonna lose him and Omar for a month. The funny thing is, I actually think it would do us a favour. And this is my logic, right? Omar's had hardly any break, like in terms of play, normally 60, 70 minutes easily every game. Ali doesn't like
more.
Ali doesn't like coming off. You know, Ali gets the ump if he comes off, even though sometimes he should have, he's in his rest. Forrest Green, we desperately needed someone to come in for Ali because Ali was gone. He was spent. He's played so much football. The logic, my logic is actually they would get break. They can go to some nice weather in Qatar. So it's going to be like a warm weather training for them. Omar's probably not going to get much actual game time because he's got into the Lebanon team late. And my gut feeling is he's probably going to be more of an impact sub.
Right.
So he's not been playing that much. Ali isn't first choice for Iraq. He does get into their squad more than Omar will for Lebanon. But I actually think they will come back fresher because, in a way, they need a bit of a break.
Mm.
Because Ali looks absolutely shattered in some games. And he looked absolutely like he had a heavy pitch. Forest Green, heavy pitch. Like you could see it a mile off. And for the last 20 minutes, I don't think anyone really from our team. And basically, we are probably one of the fittest teams in the league. And we struggled on that pitch. One all you take all day long. But I think we do. I think you're right. Josh Davidson isn't a bad forward. Isn't a bad forward by any stretch. We'll probably change a little bit of formation. I've just been listening to. It's interesting what you say about Danny Cowley. So our good friend Aaron Paul's 72 Plus podcast, really good one this week. Got Danny Cowley on there. There's no way in hell he's going anywhere near Colchester United. Trust me. Why he was discussing Birmingham. So they were discussing Birmingham about a business plan and obviously I'm sacking a manager just sacked Wayne Rooney. And they were talking about, you know, these companies come in and they just one of his ideas and then they just sacked their manager as the windows open when he needed players to adopt his philosophy. And Danny Cowley was very much going, I don't understand how these people think that you just can bring a manager in and just give them 13 games. So there's no way near Colchester are on their third manager this season. There's no way he's going anywhere near that. But Joe, his interest with Craig Coat was that he was talking about, so Craig Coat was on the end of the podcast and was saying that actually it's just reacting. This window is about reacting.
Yeah.
So he was sort of saying, you know, if Stockport do recall any players, wasn't saying they would, but we have to react to that. If we lose a forward, we have to react to that. The confidence I got from that was that he has people in mind.
Yeah.
So reacting doesn't mean he's going to go, shit, Conor Evans has gone back. Who can we get? He's obviously got a replacement in mind already. Hey, do you know what? I think we've got a ready-made replacement in Josh Davidson for that Ali role. We'll be all right. But I think they come back, I really think they come back fitter because I don't think they're going to be playing loads and loads of minutes in this Asian Cup.
Yeah, I mean, the crazy thing is as well, we're talking about goals. Josh, for me, is an Omar replacement, and they've both scored 4 goals now in the league this season. So, I mean, if we were talking about goals per minute, I think Josh has probably got the best average of anyone in the squad at the moment. So I think, I think we are over panicking about that one. But yeah, we are still going to be short. You said a potential formation change if we don't get anyone in. Yeah, what are we looking at? I mean, are you talking about Nerful playing as a like Nerful and Tilly playing wide as a wingers as Josh is alone up front and maybe like a James Ball coming in midfield?
Yeah, you can play a 4-3-3. I think the way we play, we like to play with a high press. So we like to high press in numbers. So if you looked at formation wise against Colchester, it was very much a narrow 3 in midfield with Little and Conor Evans. Narrower, a bit further forward, and then you had Davidson, Omar, and Ali interchanging as such. So I think we will still play a 4-3-3, but you can play wide, you can play Tilly, you play Nerbo out wide, Josh in the middle. You can still play the same formation with Josh playing the Ali role. I like the Omar role, and Harry Pell can play that. I think he can play that well enough. I think we have enough options. We just don't have what we call the out and out forwards.
Yeah.
So, you know, Ali's an out and out forward. Josh is an out and out forward. Omar is a little bit in between. Harry Pell is basically a person just playing a number 10 role because we can't put him in midfield. You know, Josh Nerville that can play through the middle in one. So I think we don't have those out and out forwards. We have one on loan. Let's not forget Zach Robinson at Dundee, which I think we all forget is one of our players.
Yeah, it's unlikely he's going to be back though, isn't it? To be honest,
I like he's coming back, but I think we knew we were probably short in that out and out forward player. But I think if you look at the attacking options we have, you know, Nerville, Tilly, Connor Evans, Josh Davison, Aaron Sasu, there's enough. There's enough there. But I think Johnny can just move around with different formations. But I think he'd always try and play a three in some sort of way, because the actual three going forward are just important defensively for us with the high press, as they are that side of it.
How long do you think we're realistically going to be out? Early, you know, there's a chance that they both, Lebanon and Iraq, get out of their groups. There is a chance. So I'm not sure. I mean, at the moment, 22nd of January is Lebanon's last game. So we're not going to have Omar for the trip to Milton Keynes, which we'll talk about shortly. That'd be a big ask. I think we have, is it Mansfield on that?
Mansfield or the FA Cup fourth round.
So Mansfield. So unlikely to have him for that. I'm just looking for Iraq's last game in the group as well. That's on the 24th. So that's, so I mean, Ali's not going to be back for that Saturday. I can't believe that would happen. But never say never.
I think the way you look at the Asian Cup is, if you look at, so a lot of these clubs, a lot of these countries are also in, or have also been in World Cup qualification and stuff like that. Recently, Iraq beat both Indonesia and Vietnam in qualifiers. You say Japan and probably Iraq second, possibly. So if you look at any club to potentially, any country potentially to get through to the latter stages, it probably will be Iraq. Lebanon have a really tough group. So I think we will see Omar back before we see Ali back, if that. But I don't think it's going to, like I say, I don't think it's going to cost us major, because I think they will come back. You know, Lebanon's group is Qatar, China, I think they're the top two, and then Tajikistan, which I never realised was a country.
Tajikistan.
I have no idea where that is. Well, obviously in Asia, because it's an Asian Cup.
That's a clue.
That's a clue. So I think it's an interesting one. I must admit, it's actually quite nice in a way to have two players on international duty in a cup. I wish the cup wasn't right in between our season. But it will be interesting to look from afar of how they get on.
Yeah, I mean, Stuart's in Qatar, so there's 0% chance of me watching or following any of it, to be honest with you. I don't think I'll be able to escape how inner Lebanon and Iraq are getting on. But otherwise, yeah, I'm paying no attention whatsoever for various reasons, as we all know. To put a line under it, we hope that both of them will be back for Bradford away on the 3rd of February, which would be handy because, tell you what, say we do get knocked out by Ipswich in the FA Cup, and we'll come on to that very shortly. That's a hell of a run, isn't it? Mansfield, Bradford, Barrow, Accrington. Oh, what a group of games that is in a row. So it's Milton Keynes in just before that now, because that has been rearranged. That is a tough run with Crawley and Wrexham beforehand. Yes, frustrating that Milton Keynes has been moved to the 23rd, Tuesday night, 23rd of January. But, we're not going to have Ali for it. We're not going to have Omar for it. Again, similar to what you were saying, Stu, I don't believe either of them actually started against Chelsea at Stamford Bridge in the League Cup, and we seemed to do all right in that one. So, who knows, basically. But a lot of complaints about the rescheduling of the Milton Keynes game, but we didn't have much choice in the matter, unfortunately.
No. So the league rules are that any postponed game, they like you to rearrange within a month. Or the next available window packet of fixtures. So obviously, the visual fixture was the 18th of November. Within a month's time, goes into the Christmas period, which was already stacked up. Obviously, we're still in the Bristol Street Trophy competition, which takes up some of the calendar. And I think that's also what caused the problem with... So some people are going, why can we not put it later on in the month in January? My understanding is we were looking at trying to do that for, I think, the 30th. But that's the next round of the Bristol Street Trophy. That's when that's planned to be in. So the next midweek after, where it has been arranged, is taken because we're still in that competition. So in a way, we're probably a victim of our own success. But ultimately, the game had to be rearranged. And if we're looking at the 18th of November, Ali was away for international duty not that we're a one-man team, but that's obviously what people have got a little bit of the ump about, because we're not going to have Ali, where we weren't going to have him in the 18th of November game either. That's just the way it was. It's disappointing because, do you know what annoys me, the fact is that this could be any other fixture and we'll be going, okay, that's the way it goes. But there is obviously, naturally and rightly so, there is so much emotion about this game, isn't it? It's what annoys me about it. I remember saying to a few of the players, and when they joined, I said, you'll realise that this fixture, 2 weeks before and 2 weeks after, is hell.
Yeah.
Because it just takes over. People are they going to go? Are they not going to go? Should we take it seriously? Should we not take it seriously? I hate the fixture. and the worst thing about it is we're going to have them in the space of probably, what, 6 or 8 weeks?
Because
the home game comes up in March, doesn't it?
Yep, March the 2nd.
So whereas before we were going to have the 18th of November, a gap, so we'd get away from this blooming kamikaze idea of them being in the same league as us, or even like that. Now
I'm fascinated by the word kamikaze in that sentence.
I don't know, it just sounded a good word to use. It just feels like we know around this fixture. Anyone who listens to the podcast knows that we hate that team with, it's not even a passion, we just hate that team, right?
Yeah.
But they're in our league. There's nothing we can do about it. And what we have to make sure is it doesn't become about them. Because it can really do your season in.
Yeah.
The players are under a lot of pressure. We could argue we've only really performed once against them properly, and that was the home game at Kings Meadow. We won 2-0.
Yeah,
that's the only time I can remember us really challenging them. If that makes sense, because every other time we've never played well against them, have we?
I think we got the point against them the year we got relegated. Alex Woodyard scored. We got a point against them, but that was very much a rearguard action, and we frustrated them. It was the point that cost them promotion at the end of the day. I'm just saying.
Of course. But you know what? I suppose what we're thinking is we've got a team that this season is a really good team, right? High press, high tempo. It'd be lovely to go to their place and give it to them.
Yeah.
That'd be lovely. And I think that's your problem. I think people want us to do so well in that game. But you know what? As much as we hate that team, we ain't playing twice.
Mm.
They're only 6 points. And I just hope we don't get to a situation where it just becomes, because that fixture can derail your season. Hey, look, Glenn Hodges got sacked after that game. We lost at home to them. Yeah. You know, I just hate it. Because I hate this game becoming the be all and end all. You know, I don't think you're going to get away from it. But yeah, the emotion behind it is already started, isn't it?
Yeah. And I mean, from my perspective, I would disagree slightly in the sense of, this season, a lot of the angst we've had since the draw at Forest Green, people talked about the fact we played the bottom three teams over this sort of Christmas New Year period and got 4 points out of nine and stuff like that. But I look at the league table, we're absolutely fine. Like I said last week, we're in no danger of relegation. So there's no expectation on us to actually finish in the top seven. I think we'd be doing fantastic. Well, if we did, I think we're seeing improvements from clubs that you would expect to finish above us come the end of it, which I think will cost us eventually. So for me, with no pressure, there's no pressure on us now. I don't feel any pressure on us whatsoever. So if you're asking me what I would want from this season, I'm not going to lie to you. I'd love to beat them twice. I'd love 6 points against them.
Agree.
But I get what you're saying. If we are looking higher and we're looking for promotion, yes, it's not the be all and end all. Our season will not be defined by these two fixtures. It's just, I'm with you. You just hate the whole thing about it. What's interesting as well is we don't have a very good record, do we, of scoring penalties against them? And it just shows you what you're saying there about the whole thing, the whole circus, I think you're trying to say, or charade around the game.
Kamikaze, you mean?
Kamikaze. I know, I've still got Japan on my screen looking at Asia Cup. I think sometimes the pressure can tell. But hey, funny enough, I was just looking up at the schedule for the Asia Cup just to see some dates and things like that. There's a photo of Qatar winning it at some point in the past, and it looks like, is that the Qatar version of Andy Murray? He's got like a Qatari doppelganger, like How I Met Your Mother style. But anyway, that all said, Stu, I think looking at, as I say, we got the 4 points from nine. Someone's going to point out that across five games, if you go from Salford to Forest Green, in that five games we played all of the bottom four, Salford, Colchester, Sutton, and Forest Green, and we only won one of them. Just stats can be dressed up in any way you like to sort of put them, don't you? But yeah, it's frustrating, but not the end of the world.
I think what I'd say, right, is if you look at it, we've sorted our home ball out. I've always said to you, if you're going to do well in a league, get points, get something away from home, get a point or
Yeah.
the occasional win your home games. Apart from Sutton, our home form's been blooming good. Like, I don't know if anyone's seen the goal of the month competition for December, 24 goals to pick from.
Yeah, I know, it's mad. I
So
know.
we're not doing that bad. We're not doing that bad. Do you know what I mean? But I think the problem is expectation level has gone high. You know, we have this moan about we can't beat people. We have people moaning that we can't win against anyone above us in the league. Well, we've done that with Notts County at the time. Well, we drew at Barrow, we drew at Mansfield, and those points are very good points on the road.
Massively,
When
yeah.
you look at the form, and we had late chances to win both of those games, if we remember correctly.
Yeah.
When you were saying about the next batch of games with Bradford and Accrington and Morecambe, it's obviously, the league take the league fixtures are technically reversed. They're in the same sort of necessary order. And actually, we did all right. We got a point at Barrow, a point at Mansfield. We both of those at home to come to us. We go to Accrington, which we've done okay at, and Morecambe come to us, don't they? So, is that right? Yes,
Yeah,
Morecambe
yeah,
come
yeah.
to us.
Yeah,
And Morecambe are
sounds
going to be probably Morecambe probably going to be a bit weaker by then because of some of the stuff that's going on at Morecambe. But do you know what? Over a season, you can look at mini leagues and mini periods. But do you know what? Being seventh, and I think we're about 4 or 5 points ahead of where we were this time last season, in terms of point numbers, and we know what happened last season. We're doing all right. And do you know what? I'm getting to a stage now. I was saying this the other day to Chris Falk. I'm getting to a stage now where I'm just clapping goals. I'm not celebrating them heavily because I'm scoring so many goals. It's like going back to CCL days, isn't it?
It really
do you
is.
We used to celebrate after once you scored the fifth, you just do a nice little round of applause. Well done, well done.
Yeah.
We are scoring goals for fun. It's I don't know about you, but it's this is probably the most fun Wimbledon team I've watched in many, many years. We are entertainers.
We are
like the
we
old
are very
Newcastle, we're entertainers.
we are scoring lots and lots of goals at the moment. It is great fun. So yes, not sure why all the negativity. We go into the FA Cup this weekend before we get into previewing the game with Ipswich. Aaron's SAS Supermatch game. Of course, Stu, my first ever Wimbledon game was against Ipswich Town at Soho's Park in 1993. I was -1 year old. Kind of strange how these things work. We lost 2-0, but in the return fixture at Portman Road that season, we drew 0-0. But we featured a player who would go on to appear for AFC Wimbledon, and that player was blank blank.
Oh wow. Mark, no, not Marcus Gale. David Connolly? No, that wouldn't have been that
Far too
far
early.
back, would it?
Yeah.
Jason Yule.
It's not Jason Yule.
Boo. Who
Yeah,
else
I'm not
played
sure
for
you're
Wimbledon?
gonna. This is quite obscure because I don't think he ever actually played for us competitively, but he played a few friendlies for us in about 2003. And that player was Roger Joseph.
Ah, do you know what? That was obviously him and Jermaine Darnham were the other ones, weren't they? But I, yeah, Roger Joseph, I, yeah, but
Yeah. Yeah. I think.
loved Roger, don't loved Roger Joseph.
Yeah, I think his best days had passed him when he appeared for us. But anyway.
Just a bit.
Say no more. Moving swiftly on. So we host Ipswich in the FA Cup third round this weekend. What happened in the FA Cup last season? We got knocked out by Chesterfield. The season before that, we lost in the third round to Boreham Wood, if I remember correctly, away from home.
Yeah.
So first FA Cup third round tie at Plough Lane, our
Good
new
shout.
stadium, Plough Lane. Against a team that are currently second in the championship, but Stu, I'm going to make a bold prediction here. Ipswich will not get promoted this season. I think they have massively overachieved to be where they are, having just got promoted out of League One, riding a major crest of a wave, but they are hitting a little bit of a more tricky time at the moment. One win in their last six. They've not won in five in the league. And let's be honest, they've got Connor Chaplin's a great player. Freddie Ladipo is a great player. Are they top end of championship players? I don't know. And people argue Kieran McKenna, obviously the man that got promoted, good young manager, got a way of playing with them. But I think it's a massive, massive ask. I think it's similar to when Luton got up into the championship and it took them a few years to adjust to it. Ipswich have gone in, ridden a massive crest of a wave, but I just don't think the squad's good enough there to get them over the line. I imagine Southampton will catch them by the end of it. But that all being said, be interesting to see how they approach this game. I think they'll take it very seriously because I think he'll want to get back to winning ways. I think when you've gone five games without a win, you want to get a win at any point against anyone. So I think we've got a difficult task ahead of us.
Yeah, you know what? I think it's a difficult game regardless of who they play. I've been chatting to a few of the media guys actually who visit us sometimes, and we mentioned the Switch, and they were saying their second string is a strong second string, right, even, you know, on that sort of side. But however, I'm a little bit different to what you're thinking. So I think getting promoted is a massive thing for Ipswich. Of course it is, you know, in that position. I agree with you. If you look at teams that are chasing them, Leeds and Southampton, after this window as well, how stronger will they be on top of what they are already? So, you know, they're going to have money to spend from the parachute payments. I don't think Ipswich are going to play a full team. I don't think they can do because they have had a lot of injuries. I think they've got six or seven key players out at the moment, which I think is a little bit down to why they're not scoring as many goals as they drew at Stoke. They drew at Stoke and they got beat at Leeds and stuff like that. I don't think they will take it as seriously. I think they will take it seriously, but I don't think they will put a strong team out.
Mm-hmm.
However, we're still going to have to play really well to get through. But I don't think it's as difficult as I think we thought it might be initially, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? I think it's a winnable game. In my opinion, at home, it's a winnable game.
Yeah. We beat Coventry in the League Cup earlier this season, so
agree. And when you look at these fixtures, you always see Championship clubs, wherever they are, always tend to put out a second string or weaker team. And we all know from when we look at the Bristol Street Trophy competition, when teams put out weaker or mix and match teams, they don't gel as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I've got a strong feeling we're going to beat Ipswich, and I know that bit of my thing I see, but I really do think we'll get through and we'll be playing in a fourth round.
Scoreline?
Very tight. I think it'll be like a 2-1 or something like that.
Yeah, I think if we'll win, it'll be something like that, or a 1-0. But it'll be interesting to see how it goes. There are six games still going ahead in League Two. We'll be keeping an eye on, and Mansfield versus Crewe seems to be the pick of those. Mansfield still only lost once in the league this season, so they are due, but Crewe are finding it, as I thought we all thought would, started to struggle a little bit and started to fall away a little bit, but still probably the pick of the games there. But other than that, I think it's all good. You stink. I think we asked you a couple of weeks ago who you thought would be the top three in the end, and I don't think you went for Mansfield in the end.
I did. I still don't think they are, if I'm being truthful. I think they are due a bad run. Yeah, I think Mansfield, I've seen them a few times. I think Mansfield are a very good workmanlike team, very good in a basic. And I don't mean that horribly, but they're a very good, well-drilled team. I just don't think they're going to get all smash promotion. I think Wrexham still will. I think Stockport will. And I think it'd be a push on one other. But I just don't see. I see Mansfield being the after-rans in the playoffs, and I don't see him getting through that either.
The also-rans, do you think? Yeah.
Hey, look, General Nigel Clough's been there. We talk about managers. Nigel Clough has been there, what, 3-4 years now?
Yeah.
You know, fair play to Mansfield. They've stuck behind him and stuff, but I think he's got to get promotion this season, I think. Otherwise, they'll go for someone new.
Just a reminder that League Two, when you look at the League Two table, really is a tour of some of the shittest places in England and Wales to visit. Really, really is. But anyway, on that note,
and we go to Wrexham, and also we go to Wrexham in a couple of weeks. Wrexham, which I understand, we've sold about people have been to Wrexham. I think we've sold just under 1,000 tickets to Wrexham.
Yeah.
It's not all that.
It really no. Say no more. No,
Joe, Wrexham is close to Chester in terms of distance, but in terms of appeal, it couldn't be any further apart.
Could not be any further apart. On that note, thank you very much for joining me this week, Stu.
Thank you.
Thank you to everybody for listening. Updates from the game with Ipswich will be on Twitter at 9WiresPodcast. Don's TV will be back. Remember, early kickoff, 12:30 on Saturday from Plough Lane. But that is it. Time for us to go. Alexa Bliss, bag first, milk last. 2 + 2 = 4. And we shall speak to you again next week.